For those of you who didn't make the prelude time, before the prelude time, and saw the footage on the screen there, we were showing highlights, some raw footage of surfing in a huge break, a very famous break in Tahiti. And so, since all of you may not have seen it, I wanted to share with you just a short clip of what surfing is supposed to look like. Big wave surfing. Isn't that cool? Surfing is a very spiritual sport. It's spiritual because when it's done right, it's all about finding that harmony between human being and the power of nature. When you surf, you commune with the power of the ocean. You feel it at a very visceral level. Isn't that beautiful when we see that harmony of person and the power of creation? I wanted to show that to you so that that remains in your head, but this sermon isn't about that beauty. By the way, this is what I remember when I think of the couple of times that I went out and surfed that was too big for my abilities. This is more like what I remember. But this sermon isn't about that either. This sermon is about this guy and what happens to him. This guy gets held down. If you hit the mute button there. He's surfing along. This is what surfers call being held down. When a wave rolls you under the water and holds you there. Rolls you around like a rag doll. Can you hold your breath this long? Not only does he get held down, but he gets what surfers call caught inside. That is to say, as he paddles, he cannot get past the breaking waves to the safety of being outside the break. Getting caught inside is when the waves that have already broken keep rolling in on you and you paddle out, but you run into the foam of the waves and it keeps pushing you backward. And you paddle forward and it pushes you backward. And you paddle forward and it pushes you back. Normally farther than when you paddled out. I turned down the sound on this clip. There's some pretty intense language here, which I shall not utter here. If you could have heard just a little bit longer, he starts praying to Jesus in that wave. But if you look at the size of the waves that he's rolling against compared to what we saw earlier, he is caught inside at the mercy of the waves. Instead of being in harmony with the power of creation, he is fighting with the power of creation. It feels as if all of the power of the ocean is arrayed against him, paddling forward, being pushed back. He gets angry. I laughed when I saw that clip, not only when I saw the little waves that were rolling him around. But I'm sorry to call this guy out, but he did put his own video on YouTube. And he confesses there that he realizes after the fact how funny he looks and sounds in that video. It's funny. And he's famous now at FPC Logan. It's funny getting caught inside. It's funny getting held down. It's funny when you see it on video. It's funny until it's not. It's not funny when you're going through it yourself. It's not funny when your arms are tired and you're out of breath and you're being rolled around like a rag doll. It's not funny when you look up and the only thing you see is the next wave coming at you. It's not funny when you begin to feel as if you are fighting the power of the ocean and as if the creation is set against you. Have you ever felt like that? And I'm not talking about surfing. It's not fun to get caught inside. Many of us, I know what it feels like when life catches us inside. Our hurts and our burdens, our struggles with mental health, our strained and broken relationships, our physical, financial, emotional, spiritual brokenness hold us down. We get caught inside. Wave after wave roll over us. You feel like you can't catch your breath. Some of us have been fortunate enough in never having experienced this personally, at least not on the profoundest of levels. But if we look at the news, we can communally, in our search for peace and justice and equality, we can see that we are, all of us, caught inside. And the anger and the fear bubble up within us as we are rolled around like rag dolls. But fortunately for us, this is not the end of the story. This morning we hear this curious story about a religious ritual. It is the story of the first Passover. It is the story that Jews celebrate every Passover when they rehearse this meal. We hear the story of God telling Moses that this is how they will celebrate God's deliverance. This is how they will remember God's setting them free. They're to take a lamb, prepare it just so, and they gather around the table and eat it together. No one is to be left out. You enjoy it together. And you mark your homes with it so that you know and that God knows and that everybody knows that whatever happens on the outside, it is not going to touch you on the inside. Passover. It is a day of remembering and celebration. It is a festival to the Lord, says Scripture. Now, as we grapple with this text, we can recognize that there are some disturbing and unsettling aspects to it. I think it's important to be aware of the distance between us and this text from the ancient world. We look for abiding truth, but it comes to us, like all human language and story, out of a particular context long ago. We will and might struggle with a God who kills the firstborn of every family. I struggle with that. That struggle is important. But this morning, we can't lose the sight of the insight celebrated at every Passover meal and echoed at this table, that even if it comes to us in ancient garb, this is a story of liberation. This is a story about Exodus. This is a story about a God who will not rest while her children cry out from their bondage. This is a story about a God who will not rest until all his children are taken from being held down and brought up to the fresh, deep breaths of freedom. When they can't breathe, when they are tossed about, God doesn't breathe either. That's the story of the cross also. And as the Israelites long ago painted their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb, and as we share in the receiving of the blood of Christ, we are reminded that the struggle for liberation, the pursuit of peace, the building of justice, the nurturing of our healing doesn't come without cost. The struggle is often bloody. But from our context, we recognize that our enemies are not other human beings. Our enemies are the things that enslave us. The things that hold us down under the water, our broken health, our depression, our despair, our cynicism, our bickering. Paul says that our struggle, in another place, Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Egypt is ourselves and our own brokenness and the brokenness of the world. What is curious about this celebration and the celebration that we read about in Scripture this morning is at this point in the story, the liberation hasn't happened yet. There they are, the Israelites, still in bondage, downtown Cairo, having to labor at the end of the taskmaster's whip. And God tells them in the midst of their suffering that they should have a little victory party. It doesn't make sense. And yet this is where it begins. The Lord tells them to celebrate because God knows that true freedom and the peace that comes from it begins not out there, not in our outward circumstances, but inside. Our situations are not determined and defined by our outward struggles. They are blessed by the inward peace that we receive at this table. God says to the Israelites and to us, remember what I have done. Remember what I am doing to set you free and make you whole. Eat it in a hurry. Because you can't wait to get out and experience what this meal proclaims. This table is our sign. When we receive these elements, it is like painting the sign on our doorposts that God has already set us free. We don't have to fight creation anymore. We can find ways to live in harmony with it and with each other. Life is not set against us. We don't have to be angry or afraid anymore. If you look for advice on what to do when you get caught inside, surfers will tell you that a couple of things that are repeated. First is don't panic. Find a place of inner peace. What you need is confidence. Find peace. Find confidence. That's what we receive at this table. When the world seems to be unraveling and our struggles seem to be too big for us and we can't seem to find a breath, we come here for this sign. And God tells us, know that I have already begun to set you free. Salvation is nearer today than it was at the beginning. Wake up to what God has done and is doing. This table is our sign. And love is our exodus. It is a new year. We're starting a new year fresh in September. New classes are starting up. And we gather together ready for an exciting fall as a community of faith. And we celebrate that salvation is nearer today than yesterday. And we are joined together in blessed community. to cooperate with God in bringing about salvation and making it closer tomorrow than it is today. This love at the table, and this love that we have in our hearts, and this love that is embodied in our hands, is what puts us in a place of harmony with creation and life. It brings liberty to all. So let's get out our walking sticks and gird our loins, in ancient speak, or get out our surfboards and get ready. Let's eat this meal in a hurry so that we can go out and grab some righteous rides on some tasty waves of peace and wholeness. Amen.